talking. We're going talking today where things are popping. The Marian way, we're going to drop in on discussions of the day on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club, we're going debating. We're going to debate very loud and we'll be laughing and floating high on a cloud. Phones are ringing from listeners all around on the Exchange Club. Exchange Club. And we'll guess and goof and talk on exchange, read, debate, and think it's exchange. Tune in, we're on. Turn on, I'm in. It's on today, the Exchange Club.
And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It's a getaway Friday, first Friday in August, October. August? Did I say August? October 5th, 2018. First Friday in October, 16 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Exchange Club. Charlie Evers, Brandy Downs, and Marge Hazel. See, I got the names right that time.
Right.
Got the month wrong, but I got the names right.
Glad you got the names right.
I'm glad I got the names right, too. Now, hopefully this will be the fourth and last week we'll ever have to cover this subject. But it's an interesting time, and it's hard to explain. But this morning, on this whole Judge Kavanaugh saga that's been going on for 4 weeks, they took a procedural vote. Now, the way it came out was very interesting. The procedural vote passed 51-49, which just essentially means that they will take the final vote tomorrow. But there were some surprises in this procedural vote. A Republican, Murkowski, voted no, which probably means she's a no tomorrow, which means the Republicans have already lost one vote. They can't lose two.
I thought Democrats voted yes.
One Manchin voted yes to end debate.
They canceled one another out.
But not necessarily, because if you vote no to all they did today was vote to take the final vote tomorrow. It just ended debate on it. If you voted no to end debate, chances are you're going to be a no tomorrow. So Murkowski, I think, is a safe no now. Just because you voted yes to end debate doesn't mean you're going to vote yes on him tomorrow. And my guess is Manchin is a no tomorrow. I would almost bet the house on that one. I think he just wanted to get through this, get to the thing tomorrow, and vote no. So I believe Manchin becomes a no, which would put it at, and I think Flake's a yes, and Flake voted to move it, because I think he's going to yes. So that would put it at 50-50. So it all comes down to Susan Collins, the last Republican, and she said she has not decided yet, even though she voted yes this morning, but she said she will announce today whether or not she will vote yes tomorrow. If she says no, I think he doesn't go. I don't know. But that's my take. But that's the situation we're in. Marge, we talked about it earlier. What do you think?
I don't know. I get more confused as I listen to this thing, you know?
I guess just the bottom line is, do you think, knowing what we know now, that it passed by that sliver, and there is a Democrat in the yes category,
right,
with that. I don't think anybody expected a Republican to vote no today, but they did.
Mm-hmm.
Murkowski did.
Right.
Do you think he'll be confirmed tomorrow?
I hate to say, because I don't really know.
It's a jump ball at this point. I really don't know.
I don't either.
What do you think, Brandy? What's the chances?
Yeah, I think he'll be confirmed. They've got time now to work over both Murkowski and Collins. And
you think she'll change?
I don't know that she will, but I think there's a possibility. I don't think Manchin can be counted on 100%, although I do think that he'll vote no, ultimately. But I wouldn't bet the bank on it.
Well, that's the problem. I think the only sure one in this four-person bunch, I think Flake will definitely vote yes.
Yes, I agree with that.
But if you vote no to take it to a final vote, why would you vote yes on the final vote?
Well, I don't think if the final vote were today or right after the procedural vote that she would vote yes. But if they give it 24 hours, she's going to have all of her colleagues in the Senate, or all of her Republican colleagues at least, calling her and twisting her arm. And, I mean, we saw what happened with the health care issue that when they were trying to repeal. Yes, ultimately, due to McCain, but there was lots of arm twisting going on and people going into back rooms. And I mean, it's crazy.
What if Collins says this afternoon no?
I don't think she will.
Well, but what if she does?
I would be surprised and maybe have a little hope.
I don't believe Manchin's going to vote yes tomorrow. I just don't think he can. Have you seen the crowds out in front of the Supreme Court? I don't think a Democrat can afford to vote yes tomorrow. I think what Manchin is doing is to his district, which is a red district, I think he's saying, okay, I'm willing to get it to a vote, but I don't think there's any way he votes to do it tomorrow.
We'll see. It is West Virginia.
Well, yeah, but Murkowski, a Republican, voted no today, and even if she does change, she can't take it back.
Yes. Well, she's definitely had a lot of pressure from constituents. There were women who flew in from Alaska to come talk to her and try to convince her to vote no on him. So,
and she did.
Yeah. I don't think Manchin has had quite the same amount of pressure the other way.
But Collins... one thing I heard yesterday that I found fascinating was Collins went back more times than anybody to read that report, mm-hmm. and she's also the only one who looked at the tips line. Now, she obviously has some doubt in her mind. There has to be doubt there. Or why is she doing all this? If she goes and Manchin goes, then it's a no. I don't know. What do you think, Charlie?
Well, I think that he would be voted in tomorrow. Well, he was today, of course, and then again, the whole group votes tomorrow. But in the meantime, who is behind the organization of people to protest? Did you notice yesterday the police, even on their belts, carried rows and rows of restraining straps to in prisoners?
Tomorrow is... I think today, if Collins says yes, you're going to see something nasty happen tonight. If she says no, I don't think it'll happen. I don't think he'll be confirmed. I just really don't. I don't think there's any way. This is like Chinese checkers now. Because if Collins says no, there's no way Murkowski is going back to yes. And then there's no way Manchin is going to be the Democratic vote that confirms this guy. So if Collins says no, I believe he's done. Wouldn't you agree with that? Do you think Manchin can be the Democrat who puts Kavanaugh in? There's no way he's going to do that. I think he's waiting to see what she says.
That's possible. And it felt a little bit to me like, from seeing what I've seen with Murkowski, she was relieved not to be the deciding vote on that. Mm-hmm. I think that kind of shored her up in being able to say no, because nobody could come back and say it was your fault that we didn't get to move forward on this. Collins went before her, Flake went before her, Sasso went before her.
That's the point.
And then, you know, she got to stand up and say no, and she did not do it. She didn't stand up and shout it. She stood up and very quietly said no.
And that's why I don't believe she'll change between now and tomorrow. And like I say, if Collins says no, Murkowski's not coming back, and Manchin will not be a Democrat who confirms him. I just don't believe that would happen. Do you, Charlie? He would be a goner. The Democrats would abandon him.
I keep thinking, too, this FBI report meant nothing, apparently.
Apparently it did nothing, pretty much. They didn't interview anybody that was even involved.
Why didn't they interview everybody?
I wish I knew. There's one copy of this thing kept in a safe in a room.
Why?
I don't know. You can't take pictures.
Those, see, some things we don't know about. How can we?
Well, let me, as a somebody who's been in the news business, my question would be to this: if there's nothing in it, which is what they're saying, why are you hiding it? Release it to the public. Wouldn't that do them well to do that?
Unless there's some law restriction.
No law.
No?
Nope. Senate voted to do it. Why? Why did they do that?
Well, I don't know.
Here's the thing. Marge and I were talking about this earlier. Mm-hmm. And it's not a contentious thing, because if he didn't do it, you don't want to ruin his life. And I also even think if he did do it, it was 36 years ago. I mean, let's be honest here. People do things when they're 16 years old that they don't want to carry around the rest of their life.
Right.
His problem was if people believe he did it, then he lied. And you don't want somebody on the Supreme Court who's lied.
Right.
And that I think if he would have came out and said, you know, I did it, I was stupid, it was 36 years ago, I'm wrong, I think every Republican would have voted for him, there would have been no investigation, and it would have been done.
But if he didn't do it, why should he say he did?
Well, that's, I asked that,
period.
That's right, but then
claims he didn't do it.
I understand, but that, why did he get so fired up last week?
Well, wouldn't you get fired up if they hammered at you for a whole week?
If you went into his court like that, do you think he would put up with that?
People don't go under that much pressure in a court. Like he had
murder? Murderers?
For a whole week.
If a murderer jumped out in his court and started giving a homily like he did last week, you think he would allow that? They would threaten him with, what's that thing?
Well,
contempt.
Shut him down.
Contempt.
Contempt of court.
And,
yeah.
And here's the thing, and I think this keeps getting lost in all of the talk about whether he did it or whether he didn't do it. He is not on trial.
No.
He's not in danger of losing his life. He's not in danger of losing his freedom. None of that.
Or
he
his job.
He is up for a job promotion. That is it. That's what we're talking about. That is what is at risk for Brett Kavanaugh, is a job promotion. That's it.
You know,
it was that simple.
Well, I don't know if he did it or not. And I don't think the report tells if he did it or not. But the problem...
Why did they even get the FBI involved?
Well, because I think some people...
Did the FBI cheat? Apparently they did.
The FBI was run by the president and the Senate, and they were given parameters on what they could do.
Okay, so it was all engineered then, what they came up with clearing him.
I don't know. They won't tell you what they won't tell you what they did.
Somebody made the FBI lie.
Well, we don't even know what the report says because the senators aren't even allowed to talk about what it says. No. That's the problem.
It's not about lies. It's about whether or not they were restricted. And my understanding is that Christopher Wray has to come next week
to
the
Senate
and explain what happened with this report. But by that time, Kavanaugh's fate will have been decided.
All these rioters will have had their say. Who's manufacturing all these signs and coming up with all the slogans?
The Women's March.
And
they're
recruiting
not,
all these women.
There is no recruitment.
There has to be.
No, there is social media. We all get together on the internet.
They came out of cracks in the ground.
They did not come out of cracks in the ground. These are real women who have real opinions on these matters. And yes, we make signs.
This one said, boy, us trans, you know. Trans? When did they enter the picture?
Well, they're victims of sexual assault at higher rates than I think any other population in the country.
Yeah, but how does anyone know what they are, male or female?
Well, here's
because they tell you.
Yeah.
But what I don't understand is nobody really knows if this happened or not. So you have to believe her or him. And my problem is that I am with John Paul Stevens, the 98-year-old justice of the Supreme, former justice of the Supreme, who's, by the way, appointed by a Republican, Gerald Ford, who said it's not about the sexual assault. He said there's no judge that should have got up and said what he said because he made it very clear that he's for the Republican Party when he said the Clintons were out to get him, that this is retaliation for Donald Trump, that there's money from the Democratic Party funneled to get him. It's a character assassination. And he knew he stepped on his own toes because in the New York Times today, unheard of, Kavanaugh has written an op-ed saying, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that stuff, that was wrong. Do we say John Paul Stevens, 98 years old, who was a Supreme Court justice for years, he just doesn't know what he's talking about?
Interesting.
I don't think it's about...
I'm sick of the whole thing.
Well, I think we're
to
be all
over.
Sick of
we're all
thing.
Sick of it, but it's going to happen.
One way
but,
or the other.
But it's going to happen. It's going to happen, and we all will make up Monday, but I'll tell you what, I do think that there are people in this country who are very worried tonight because they've been yelling at people on elevators, they've been at people who are at dinner, they followed Flake into the... I think he was in an elevator last week. There is a lot of anger, and there are people lined up at the foot of the Supreme Court right now.
I've been watching a Washington, D.C. TV station live quite a bit, and there's mobs and mobs. Wait till this thing comes to the final vote.
Well, I just...
All pandemonium will break out.
Well, if it's a no, it won't be pandemonium.
We can go to mob rule in this country.
Well, no, I think the issue is that... I don't think it has to do, again, with the sexual assault, whether it did or didn't happen. I think it's, did this man who's being given a lifetime appointment for, and who could be there for up to 40 years, did he lie under oath? Did a judge lie under oath? Did he have the right temperament that you should have for that job? John Paul Stevens, who had that job, says no, no.
What about Lindsey Graham and his tirade?
Well, senators are allowed
to... Did anybody tell him that
yes.
that wasn't very, very nice?
Yeah, a lot of people told him that.
Is that right?
Yeah. Matter of fact...
And he's not a lifetime appointee. They can vote him out. Nobody gets to vote.
Yeah, Supreme the people Court don't get to out. Vote on the Supreme okay. Court. That's a problem,
well, what
too.
What should we do? Get rid of Kavanaugh once and for all?
That's their decision, not mine.
Put him somewhere in Siberia?
Well,
forget about him?
Forever in life, he will be tainted. Even if he does go on the Supreme Court. And don't forget, if the Democrats do take back power in December, they can order an investigation that could be released to the public. And if they do believe he did something, I just hope he didn't. Because if he did and he lied about it, it's going to be a bad day for him.
Who will know for sure?
Well, his college roommate said he could corroborate all this. There were 30 witnesses.
But didn't they ask his college roommate?
He called them 8 times, and they never returned his call.
What does that tell you?
What does that tell you? And that's bizarre to me. His college roommate, 8 times. I think it was 30 times. He said he called the tips line and called the FBI. Kavanaugh's roommate. And he called him 30 times, and they wouldn't return his phone call. Now, does that sound like normal procedure?
Oh, that sounds like Kavanaugh's guilty, yeah.
Well, it does, and that's the problem,
yeah.
Is why doesn't Kavanaugh, say, interview the
There's
guy?
There's too many questions one way or the other in this whole thing. I hope it's all done by Monday.
Well, it'll be done. It'll be done
but
one way or another.
But the rioting won't, I'm sure.
Well, if he's voted in. But I don't know that he will be vetted in. Who's that? Somebody's beeping. You getting a call, Charlie?
Yeah.
No number.
Uh-oh.
I don't know.
Uh-oh.
I see the number, but I don't know who'd be... The voice comes on and says, who's calling?
It did.
But I couldn't hear him.
Was
I'm
it
hard
a,
of hearing.
Was it new?
I don't know.
But it's all going to be interesting. It all works out. And I think what's fascinating about it is that people have gotten to learn. That's what I like. People who had no idea what the Supreme Court did, people who had no idea what the process was, people who have no idea what a Supreme Court justice does, they know now.
That's true.
So everybody here thinks that it's a slam dunk that he's going to get in.
I think so.
You think? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what old Mrs. Collins says.
The rioting that bothers me, though.
Well, I don't want to riot.
Who's behind these groups? That riot.
I don't know.
Who organizes them?
I don't.
Who makes the sign?
Listen, Charlie, the Women's March happened.
Yeah.
And that the organization behind the Women's March organization, did not disappear after that march. There were 3 women who organized that. It's certainly not George Soros.
Well,
he has nothing to do with it.
That's what a lot of people think.
Nothing to do with it at
really?
All. No. There's no funneling of money. This is a grassroots thing. Three
pure,
women organized.
Lily White.
Yes, there. I've been to these marches. I've been to protests myself.
Wow.
Nobody has ever paid me. I've made my own signs, and that's that.
Wow.
Well, here's some stuff that's going on since the vote this morning. Graffiti is on Senator Collins' main office now, and Flake has now said, "I voted to advance it." But I'm not sure how I'm going to vote tomorrow. So Flake is back in the undecided category. I don't think he's going to get in. Remember these words tomorrow. I don't think it's going to happen.
Well,
I don't think it's going to happen.
Stand by for riots.
If he doesn't get in, I don't think there'll be riots.
There may be. There are also a lot of very impassioned people who support Kavanaugh.
But they're not in Washington right now. They're not standing outside the Supreme Court.
But the weekend is coming up.
Yeah, but once they level the Supreme Court, which is what's going to happen if they say yes, but I don't know what'll happen. What are they going to do, spray tear gas into? That's what I worry about. Are they going to spray tear gas into these women?
Yes,
they are. I'm telling you, that's not good. Kidding. That's
all these wild women out there screaming and yelling. How are you going to shut them up?
Oh, Charlie. Why are these Republicans so undecided? What is really eating at them? What's the deal?
Votes. Their own.
Their own conscience.
Their own status.
Flake's not even up for re-election.
That's what I was
gonna say. Why is he going back and forth on this?
No, I don't know.
I don't think he'll get it. I think Collins is going to be a no. I really do. Because I think the bottom line for her is going to be what I'm saying. It's not about what allegedly happened. It's about how he acted. I think people like Collins and Murkowski and Flake respect 98-year-old John Paul Stevens, who was a justice on the Supreme Court. He was appointed by Gerald Ford. That's their Republican Party. And I think they look at him because Stevens said Kavanaugh was a good guy, but he said after he saw that, he had to change his opinion and say, no, you can't act like that.
Is
you
it
can't
illegal
do that.
For any current member of the Supreme Court to comment?
I don't know if it's illegal, but none of them have.
Why?
And I don't think they would. Well, because it goes against their reputation as being
but what happened?
Impartial.
You know what? I'll give you a Republican and a Democrat in the last 50 years who've been on that court. They were looked up upon to. Thurgood Marshall, who was a Democrat, and we knew it, but he voted impartially. He voted to the law. Sandra Day O'Connor, who was a Republican, but she voted the law. Where John Paul Stevens, who was a Republican, but he voted the law. Where are these people? Why does everything have to be so political now? How can a judge be political? I don't get that. I really don't understand that. When Kavanaugh, I was with Kavanaugh right up until he got up and said, the Clintons are out to get me. And then I'm thinking, wait a second. How can you argue any case impartially with Republicans and Democrats if you think Bill and Hillary are out to get you?
When did he say that?
In his speech. What did he say, Brandy?
In his prepared statement to the Senate last Friday, the day of the hearing, where they heard from Professor Ford first and then Judge Kavanaugh.
Well, maybe the Clintons are out to get him.
Hillary's, I'm telling you, she's
prove
got,
they aren't.
Hillary's got her hands in everything.
Who can prove they aren't?
Well, I tell you what,
I think you follow the money. And that can be seen. Nobody's called for an investigation into that, and there's a Republican
Senate. The
same
question now.
So do an investigation then.
That Clintons are out to get him or not.
Oh, Charlie, Hillary Clinton, Marge, has done so much. This is why I've got the Hillary Journal here, trying to get this poor lady to Marion, because she's not in office now, and we're still kicking the garbage out of her.
And the Hillary's, the Clintons aren't out to get him?
Well,
what is Hillary Clinton doing?
I don't know.
There's a Republican majority in the Senate right now. If they thought that was true, there would be 2,000 hearings on it that would go on for the next 25 years.
I don't know how Hillary got so much power. This woman, she can change votes. She can cover up Benghazi. She can cover up email scandals, Whitewater. Monica Lewinsky, she's had people killed. She speaks bad. Now she's out to get the justice.
She live with her husband?
Here's what we learned. Hillary Clinton runs the world. That's what I've learned in the last 2 years. Hillary Clinton doesn't need to be president because she pulls the strings
so
on everything.
She's got a henpecked husband.
Why even bring Hillary Clinton up in this? What does she?
I don't know.
I say. Kavanaugh did. And he apologized this morning in the New York Times.
It was the Wall Street Journal.
Wall Street Journal. Charlie. I shouldn't moderate.
There was no apology, and he never mentioned what he thought he did wrong.
Well, didn't he say, I'm sorry for going off the tracks last Thursday?
He only said he said some things that he shouldn't have said.
But you don't think that was one of them?
Well, I don't know what he thinks he shouldn't have said at this point, because that was a prepared statement that he wrote himself, that he had plenty of time to read through and think about, and he still went to the Senate and read those words. So
can't we get John Paul Stevens or Sandra Day O'Connor back? They're free. They're alive.
What's their phone number?
Let's get them on. Let's get them.
Yeah.
Just get this whole Kavanaugh.
You call all these famous people.
I call all these
people.
But
you don't get the politicians in Washington.
We do. Jordan, DeWine, Cordray. Oh, we had Michael Dukakis on at one point, and John Anderson, Jesse Jackson, okay. Al Franken.
Jesse Jackson?
You want me to call? We don't remember that?
No.
Yeah, during the 2006. Let me get Jesse Jackson in there. What we need is somebody like Judge Judy. Just put her in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody complain. By the way, I think she said she didn't want him on the court either, didn't she?
I have no
idea.
Did?
I don't know, she made a comment about it.
I'm wrong, I'm sure, but somebody will let me know. Anyway, we got other things to talk about, but that's going to go where it's... Yeah, I know. But you know what? This is interesting. If you go into a restaurant on... This has all happened on Fridays. If you go into a restaurant, if you go into a coffee shop, if you go into a workplace, they're doing what we're doing. They're all having these conversations. The ratings on the cable networks have been through the roof the last 3 weeks.
And Facebook.
So we're not doing anything differently than anybody else is doing. And it's an interesting thing, but I do believe if Collins votes no, he's out. If she votes yes, he's in. So there you go. But her office is being vandalized, so.
Which is not good. I don't think.
No, you can't be vandalizing the woman's office, but these people are nuts.
I'd heard they had vandalized Kavanaugh's house, too.
They might. It's not right if they did.
No,
you can't
not right.
be. Okay. We got to get on another stuff here. Now, one of the things, local. We're going to go local now. The Democratic Party putting out this letter this week by Kelly Carr. She was on the program. Charlie, you read it when it came in this week. Essentially, to tin type this down, Julie Cagle, who has been in the office of Clerk of Courts, a Republican, has been in there for about two decades. Now, she announced she was resigning last week. She's not resigned yet, but it's coming up here in a few days. Now, the Cincinnati Inquirer and the Marion Star have both done investigations on her office and say she's 2 years behind. And this week, there was a press release sent out by Kelly Carr, the chair of the Democratic Party, Mayor Scott Schertzer, the first vice chair, I guess is what it's called. It's time to put taxpayers first, and the Marion County Democratic Party is calling for a full and complete audit to be conducted on Julie Cagle's office. Now, we had Kelly Carr on to talk about this. What do you think?
Did you ask her what auditing firm she's going to get?
Well, I asked who would do the audit, and she said, well, it could be the prosecutor, it could be the attorney general, but she also said that she had not called any of those people at the current time either. So
what
I don't
know. What kind of audit companies does this particular type of auditing?
Why?
Or is it all political?
I think the prosecutor could do it, I think.
The prosecutor.
Okay, well, the attorney general could do it. They do a lot of investigations.
He's up for election, isn't he?
Yeah, we're going to him next because we got a story about him this week.
Well, he still needs to have an operating office even if he's running for election, one would hope. But I don't know who does those sorts of things, and I don't think it's a bad idea if there's an office that's 2 years behind to get to the bottom of why.
You know, it's interesting. When I was with the Convention and Visitors Bureau, we had an audit every so many years. It cost us $5,000 to have an audit made. A local firm did it and submitted it to the state auditor
for approval. What is strange to me is Kelly Carr, who has put this out, she is the city auditor. And she says her office is audited every year.
Who audits it? Did she say?
She didn't say. But she said, I think it's a state audit. But why isn't the clerk of courts being audited if the auditor is? I don't understand that.
Does the audit involve money or operations?
I would think both.
How do you audit an operation? Well, of course,
see where they're up to. Yeah, they're professionals. They know what they're doing.
Well, I think Julie Cagle said, or her office said, I'm not sure who put out the statement, that there was an issue with not being able to keep up with the technology, with the changing technology, and there was an overload of work. And so I do think, you know, if somebody's coming forth and saying, well, I just didn't know how to do it, how to use all this new stuff, we need to make sure that that office is running smoothly.
But the rub is she's announced she's leaving, and then this comes. The Inquirer and the Marion Star story are months ago.
Right.
Why at that point did nobody call for an audit?
I think it's probably happening now because and I don't speak for anybody except myself, but I would imagine that there is concern over who is going to step into the job next.
And I think that's, I asked Kelly Carr, and I'm not going to misquote her, the interview's on the website, but I asked her, I said, if Julie Cagle had not announced she was resigning, would this be going on? And I think she said probably not. Now, what does that say? What you just said, I think.
Yeah.
That it's more worried about who's going to step into that office because the mm-hmm. Republicans do get to choose. So, Marge, is this just political?
Difficult right at this time to make that comment whether it is or not.
Well, it was put out by the Democratic Party. It wasn't the Citizens of Marion. It wasn't the party that Julie Cagle's a part of. It was the Democratic Party. So, Charlie, it seems a little interesting.
Hadn't there been a little bit of controversy about her office before she was reelected?
Yeah, at the League of Women Voters debate in 2016, they were pointing out things that were not right with the office.
But the voters didn't care, did they?
They didn't.
I don't know.
They voted her back in.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to know who is paying attention to the clerk of courts. I don't think I was, and I'm a pretty involved voter. So I think it would be interesting to see if there were a lot of people in Marion who did know the extent of what was going on and how many were sort of invested in that story, because I wasn't. Were you, Marge?
The general public probably has no...
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Well, but what I think is interesting about this is Julie Cagle announced her resignation, and this audit is being called on by the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. It's not being called on by a judge. It's not being called on by the Attorney General. It's not being called on by the prosecutor. It's being called on by the Democratic Party, and that's what makes it smell a little fishy, mm-hmm. because it's a Republican office. I mean, is that wrong, Charlie?
But legally, they can't demand an audit, can they? I mean, is there any law that said...
They did.
It can only be a suggestion.
It's time to put the taxpayers first, and Marion County Democratic Party is calling for a full and complete audit to be conducted.
Okay. Is there a law that says that has to take place?
No. No.
This is a suggestion.
So you think this was just a polite suggestion?
Sounds like it.
Okay. You think it'll happen?
I have no idea.
It's very... That's an interesting story that we will follow. I know. It's all crystal ball stuff at this point, isn't it, Marge?
I used to take that to school when we got into arguments. I don't know what
Let's look into the crystal ball.
I carried it around in my suitcase.
That's good.
Well, here's another crystal ball question. The Columbus Dispatch this week, for the first time in 58 years,
endorsed a Democrat,
yeah. Richard Cordray, for a governor. Now, the reason, it's a whole big, long article, but two of the reasons are, one is the issue of the Pike County mass murders, which they talk about.
Oh, really? They brought that up.
They brought that up because they said that they had to sue Mike DeWine for autopsy reports. He was not forthcoming with those reports. And then here's how the article ends. How the next governor relates to President Donald Trump is not a major issue, but we fear DeWine would not call out bad behavior and ill-advised policy decisions as Cordray has done. This is a change election, Cordray said, and we agree change is needed. For the path forward he will offer as Ohio governor, the Dispatch endorses Richard Cordray. So there you go.
I thought the only controversy in that whole election was rape kits.
Well, that's Mike DeWine's commercial.
What is in a rape kit?
DNA, I think. Swabs that they do.
Mm-hmm. Is that it?
I think.
How would you test those?
DNA testing.
Who's doing it?
There's a database that they are supposed to run them against.
I'd like to look it up on the internet to find out the exact definition of a rape kit. Well, it seems like that's the number one issue in this whole race.
That's the number one commercial.
Yeah, right. Number one commercial.
You know, it's strange to me because we had former Governor Strickland on this week, and he was endorsed, by the way, his first term. There have been two Democrats endorsed by the Dispatch
in
62. Strickland in his first term and now Cordray. But he said that's not true. Well, but Strickland's a Democrat, so what do you expect?
Now, has the Columbus Dispatch changed ownership?
They have, and I asked her, and she said that yes, the Wolf family used to be very Republican,
and very prominent in Columbus. They ruled the roost in Columbus.
They did, but now they don't. So now, right. Is it impartial now because the Wolf family is no longer in office? I don't know. I think it's interesting he got the thing. They had to sue Mike DeWine to get those autopsy reports from Pike County. So the Dispatch has a nasty
case. I hadn't
heard
about that.
Well,
I
they
either.
Yeah. Do you listen to the show, Charlie? He was the editor. What was it? The editor of the editorial page was on this week. Mary Yost. And she talked
Mary
about
Yost?
That. Mary Yost, the editor of the editorial page of the Columbus Dispatch.
Oh, really?
Was on this week.
No kidding.
That's why you have to listen to this station. And she explained that whole bit.
Well, I was listening to the blues.
Were you? I listened to that a lot myself. But what do you think?
What do I think about them endorsing a
yeah.
Democrat?
Yeah.
I don't know that there is a single newspaper in this entire country that is completely impartial. I don't know enough about who runs the Dispatch to really know, but I mean, I endorse Cordray.
Well, there you go. So we know where you stand.
Now we're going to throw all those guys out of jail that we put in.
Well,
here we go again.
Just because I endorse them doesn't mean I agree with them 100% on everything, and I'm pretty torn on issue one. So,
well, I think you got to give people jobs.
Yes.
I mean, these felony things are costing people jobs.
But if
jobs.
You let them out, will they have their record expunged?
Well, that's up to the judge, I believe.
Yeah, well, I think, so I don't think it's a perfect issue yet. I think that there are some things I would wish were not in there, for sure.
Yeah, but
it's nonviolent people, isn't it?
I mean,
we're not letting out murderers.
And it's not drug dealers. It's people who have...
Why do we lock up people who are nonviolent? Can somebody explain that to
make sure they don't get violent.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
This show gets violent. Everybody could be locked up on Friday afternoon. I don't understand this. Do you, Marge?
No, I don't want to get locked up.
You don't want to get locked up. Well, there you go. And I don't know how you make deviled eggs without breaking the
I'll get
egg.
Penny to
oh,
tell about
I told you.
Did you ever hear?
Not fresh eggs. You
but I don't
want to
serve.
Older ones.
Oh, it's the holidays. I don't want to serve
did
old
you
eggs.
Ever hear
they're not old. They're just older.
Piercing the shell of an egg. There are tools out. You can hit it and put a hole in the egg as you boil it.
Oh, okay. Well,
just
no, I didn't know that.
Tiny hole.
I'll look into that.
Yeah.
My wife
makes the best deviled eggs anywhere.
Well, she'll have to. She's listening. She'll have to send some in when she makes them next.
Yeah.
That'll be good. This is interesting because I said we were going to do this, so I want to make sure we get it in from last week. Veggies, fruits, nuts, and fish can cause a person to have a lower risk of depression.
I read that somewhere.
Yeah, what do you think, Marge?
I don't really know. I would have to have more information in what the article that I read had.
I wonder why that makes you have a lower risk of depression.
Well, we'll have to find out what's in each one of them and weigh it out.
Because I see people eating the big greasy pizzas and the Big Macs, and those people look pretty happy.
Tell you, if I caught a good stringer of fish, I wouldn't be depressed.
Well, I'm just saying, is it because of health? Is that the idea? I don't know.
There are probably. So many of these surveys that come out that mean absolutely nothing.
You know, I used to answer those on the phone.
Well, see,
did you?
And I'm hanging up now.
Why? Well, yeah. I got a call again this week about
DJ.
I
got two of them. I got one this morning.
I don't call. I don't answer.
Nope.
They always come from a 216 area code. I don't know what they're doing up there in Cleveland.
I don't know either.
But they're surveying like crazy. Do you believe there's any validity to this story, Brandy?
Possibly. I mean, the Mediterranean diet is a little bit of a of a strange one to me, because it's not, they always say it has to go hand in hand with a Mediterranean lifestyle. You also have to be walking certain amount each day and getting outside a certain amount each day, because they do live differently than we do here in the United States, and it's not always possible. We don't have the same infrastructure and the same societal customs that they do in Europe. So I would be interested to see if it's just the diet or also the lifestyle that goes with it.
I think it's interesting that one of the foods that you should eat to lower your depression is nuts.
So you're already nuts if you eat another nut.
And there you go.
There you go.
Shouldn't
good
they
fats,
say
good oils?
I don't know. I don't know if
I eat a lot of cashews.
People love cashews, and cashews are kind of expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are.
Yeah, they're very expensive.
$13 a jar.
Isn't that ridiculous? $13 a jar to
but
be...
But boy, they sure are good.
But they lower your depression rate.
Oh.
And
that's
fruits.
That's why I go around happy all the time.
Is that what it is? Fruits and veggies and whatever else there is? I don't know. I think diet probably is important for your frame of mind, but I think... For example, for exercise, I think exercise depresses people.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
I don't like doing it. No, because I'd be told to be doing it.
Well, see, isn't that right, Marge? It would depress you if somebody told you you had to exercise.
Yeah. I don't want you to tell me what to do.
No.
I never will forget. Now, Randy Hensel calls us about once a month. Randy used to be the manager of the racquetball club in Marion.
Right.
And at one time, I went to the racquetball club every day. I never felt better, had peace of mind. I mean, I just felt great. I'd like to go back to that. Wow.
When you were exercising?
Yes. Every day.
And it made you feel better?
It sure did.
Physically or mentally?
Both.
Really?
Especially physically.
Scott doesn't like to
I
hear that.
I don't know. No. No. I mean, I go out and walk a mile every night. I've said this before.
A whole mile?
A whole mile. But it's depressing. Because
why?
Well, because I always think, well, I got to get this in. I got to, you know, make sure I go out and do this. And I don't know.
The thing is, Charlie was doing something that he enjoyed.
Yes.
Right? You enjoy racquetball. You have to find the thing that you enjoy, because otherwise it does feel like a chore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Try something new.
I don't, you know, I don't know.
See, like,
I used to bicycle 100 miles a day and it felt so good.
Right. But that's a hobby, I think. That's a hobby that's different than an exercise.
Well, it's a combination of things, mentally and physically, both.
Well, like eating bananas is good for you, but...
Unless you got a high potassium...
Right, but if you don't like bananas, it's not going to be good. Or if you have diabetes, bananas aren't necessarily the best fruit to eat. So it's all situational, and I think that gyms depress me.
I think they do.
Gyms are depressing.
Gyms depress me. Because when I pass by them, I see all that equipment and everything that could be going.
You see people enjoying themselves.
No, they aren't. No.
Not at the gym, I don't think. But I think there is something to having a hobby. That also includes exercise. Yeah.
I have a daughter that gets up at all around 5 o'clock in the morning and exercises at one of our institutions here, and she just feels great.
Well, I'm not saying, I don't think every morning she's ready to jump out of bed at 5 o'clock and be happy.
Really?
No, I don't think so.
No, but there is also a sense of accomplishment that comes for some people.
That's right.
I know I work out 5 days a week in the morning.
What do you do?
And I do a mixture of things because, like I said, I think you have to be doing what you want to do. If you don't feel up to lifting heavy weights, I do a lot of heavy lifting. And then I don't do a lot of cardio because I don't love cardio, but I do walk.
Do you do this at the gym?
No, I do this at my home because I think gyms are depressing.
There you go. Gyms are depressing.
But the working out is not depressing. And after I'm done working out, I feel better because I've done what I needed to do.
You know what I hate? When people take pictures of themselves at the gym. I don't want to see that. I don't care. I mean, you're working out. Good for you.
Yeah.
Big deal. I don't care.
The gym that was depressing to me was in high school, going into a dampish, fungus-laden...
Yes.
You know, when I see those pictures... You've seen the pictures of people at the gym that they put on the Facebook, haven't you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, I want to give them the old 320 BC when I see those pictures, because I think, why? I don't care. Yeah.
Did you ever open a storage door in gym class... and smell all that moldy.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to exercise. It's never been touched.
And we used to have to step through an antiseptic solution.
Ew.
When we went in the shower. And it was a slimy thing.
Think about those machines at the gym. After, you know, Karen or Jim gets off the machine, they've just perspired all over that thing, and you're going to catch all kinds of stuff from that. Gyms are awful. Gyms are awful. But people think this is so wonderful. But you know what? It's what I've always said, though. It's psychological, Marge. It's psychological. It's not about health. It's about the way they look, and that's what it's all about. Don't you think?
I think partially. I have to give a little bit more thought than just about 2 minutes. But I'm not wild about any of that stuff, to tell you the truth. And they keep telling me I'm going to die if I don't do it. Well, I've been dead a long time.
See, there you go, Charlie.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's why these people take the pictures. That's mm-hmm. why these... I see people leaving gym and they're smoking and they're going to Burger King. They're not doing that for health.
Yeah,
they're doing that for
they
look.
But they already got peace of mind.
No, they don't.
If they're smoking, they go, oh, I exercise, now I can smoke.
I won't have a heart attack. I'll die of lung cancer. I mean, it's baloney. Most of the people at these gyms, they're doing it for two reasons. They're doing it for the way I look, and they're doing it, some people use it as like a dating scene.
But have you ever seen a commercial or a thing with all these ladies riding bicycles? They're skinnier and all get out. You ever see a fat woman pedaling a bicycle in a gym?
But fat people are jolly. Santa Claus Chef Boyardee.
Yeah.
And you got these thin people who are very
jolly
unpleasant.
Until they pass away and they have to
Is
buy a wider.
No. Now that I got thin.
No, it's people because they're angry from going to the gym. They don't eat the birthday cake and they don't have the pie at Christmas and they don't they're angry.
But
you know,
in moderation.
Every day these heavy people have to buy wider coffins, wider vaults.
They're dead.
Wider
cemetery
lots. They
don't buy those coffins. They're dead.
They're sticking somebody else with all that.
Good. Stick. Yeah. Would you care when you die?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
But you care what happens after you die?
I want to look decent when
you
I
have
die.
To be responsible
right,
while you're alive.
I don't want anybody to see me dead, so I don't care about any of it.
You what?
I said I don't want anybody to see me when I'm dead.
You're going to be closed casket?
Close. Lock tight. Throw that key in there.
That's
belt
sad.
That thing. You want to see me dead?
See what it looks like?
No.
If he's pale or not?
No, they no, yeah, because all these people just file through. You know, they're always looking in at you, and they go, "Oh, they look so good. They're dead. They don't look good."
Well, I went up to somebody one day. I said, "Boy, you know, your husband sure looks nice." Well, he should. He just got out of the hospital.
Yeah, there you go. Well, isn't that the talk though? Isn't that just ridiculous, Marge?
Yes.
Everybody walks up to the casket, and you got the widow there. You know, she's all upset and or the whatever. And you have to turn to them after you look at the dead body and say, oh, they look so good. No, they're dead. They don't look good. They look dead. That's what the deal is. I mean, really, honestly, do you think dead people look normal?
You ever think,
what
kind of a skill you have to make a dead person look good?
Isn't that
all the makeup and all?
Do I have to? It is artistry. Yeah, do I have to die to look good?
Maybe so.
Well, I mean, I don't want to be dead. I just want to say, shut the lid. Send the hair person home. They come into the hospital and say, well, last time I saw them, they didn't look good. And then they show up at the morgue. Oh, they look great.
They won't have to shut the lid on me. Just screw the top down on the jar.
See, and that's a whole nother bit of... I don't know about cremation. I just don't know about that.
I'd rather have my ashes sitting around. So, hey, remember him? He's up in that jar
so
there.
So people won't be saying you look good.
No, they won't have any opinion.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting talking about ashes because I remember when I was a kid, I think it must have been about second, this little girl said, I've got something to show you that is really priceless, the word priceless. So I thought, okay. But I was scared of the house. They were in a junkyard. The house was a big old house, and it looked like there were demons in it and whatever. And I was scared to go up to it, but I got brave and, all right, Margaret, I went up there. I'm never so scared in my life because there were all these jars and little containers, and all these things had ashes in. Oh, man, I went out of there like...
Why do people keep... Maybe this will be a subject for next week. Why do people keep those urns?
I don't know. I'm not going to...
No, no. Somebody in my family recently came to me and said, well, Scott, I think I'm going to be cremated, you can keep the ashes. And I said, no. I'll bury them. I'll get rid of them. I'll send them on the train. I don't want them. Why would you want the ashes around your house? Why would you urn? I don't want any urn. Do you want an urn at your house?
No.
No, me either. No, so.
Well, I tell you, I was kind of like in that business, not in the cremation business, but handling cremains. And it can be funny. It can be sad, and it can be funny.
Well, I think
I had a lady come to me once. She says, sir, I need to buy a burial plot, but a small one. I said, oh, really? I said, someone sick in your family? Well, my husband's dead, and he's been in the closet for 4 years. And I said, what? Well, yeah, he's in a little box in the closet, and I want to bury him for good because I'm going to marry a guy.
Oh.
Oh my.
And see, there's love.
And one day, I'll tell you something else. I had to take a box of ashes out for burial, and there were a group of ladies standing at where I was going to put the ashes. And I said, ladies, since I knew they all played cards, you want to have one more game with so-and-so? Yeah. I said, well, she's on the front seat of my car.
Dead.
Grief. Yeah, they all laughed.
But you know,
had a good time.
Marriage, remember, till death do us part, or I marry again. And then you're out the door. Brandy, final words on this?
I don't have any.
Nothing to... Here we go. Well, we're done for this week. Charlie, you're coming up with lots of giveaways. We thank Brandy and Marge and Charlie. It's always fun on Friday. And we'll do it again next week. Stay tuned. Charlie Evers in 10 minutes.
On the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.